Good Saturday morning, fine folks. Welcome to Black Sheep's Friday Roundtable. And yes, it is Saturday morning, and we are having our issues here. Got too many things on the go, and so my sincerest apologies for everybody that we did not get our podcast out. We were late on Monday. We missed it by a day on from Friday into Saturday. This is not going well. We need to change some things and make some things go a little bit smoother, a little bit more effectively here at Black Sheep Rebranded. But you know what? Change. That's what this whole article that I sent the ladies here from Psychology Today, talking about change and how big life events fundamentally change. And to be honest, folks, we have really struggled with trying to get this podcast out because we keep going around in circles and we keep doing and saying things that just are so circular because, and I've said it to these folks, you know, a couple times today, and I'm going to say it again. Fundamentally, we do change. Nobody wants to admit it. Absolutely nobody wants to admit that we fundamentally do change. And so being an extrovert, you know, having kids, getting married, going out with somebody, all of these things actually do fundamentally change. And there isn't one person on this planet. I don't want to admit that. And this is an honest God true story. I remember going to see one of my nieces. She was in a play. And my wife at the time did not want to be there. Just did not. And I remember walking through the parking lot. And my brother was walking, had gone out to the car to get flowers for her for this performance. And we walked past him, never said a word. I felt like shit. And because again, there was a person beside me, absolutely don't want to be there. Don't want to do this. And that fundamentally changed me. And I don't want to sit there and run anybody into the ground, nor do I want to have this circular conversation again. But being in a relationship, having children, whether you want to admit it or not, folks, does change you. Does it change you for your better or for your worse? There is the true question. And honest to God, this article, Rebecca, hopefully when you put it up, people will read it and then they will see where the contentious conversations have been here at Black Sheep Rebranded within the three of us to say, what is it that makes people go, no, I want to live in denial. That didn't happen. That's not going to happen. I can't do that. I won't do that. Nope. When reality is, yes, we change. And we change because of the limitations.
I'm going to add into that, though. I think how we change and why we change is influenced by many different things. I think, and I'm going to jump in on my biochemical background and a couple of other experiences, but we have hormonal influences. So the whole life change around having children, I think there is a huge, huge part that is hormonally related. It just augments what we already have. We don't all become the perfect parent. We don't all become the horrible parent, but there is influence on us. Absolutely change. And I do believe that one is a fundamental permanent change because the hormones have influences on the brain itself. That changes over time because there's other influences. The whole relationship thing is going to influence us. I've changed many times because of having kids. I know that it changed me. I became more empathetic. I became a whole bunch of other things because of having kids. But other people have other influences that will also cause them to change.
And now I changed from being extremely introverted to trying new things to please my partner. And having, like, the experiences that we had weren't my idea. Like, they were always something that I thought I could never do. Because of my introvertedness and I didn't want to put myself out there. So I'm more open to trying new things now, I think.
So having a relationship caused you to look at things differently
Yeah. Now, it says in the article that new romantic relationships can increase conscientiousness. Mm-hmm. So how does that apply into what I just said?
And also the ending of a relationship will change your conscientiousness.
Yes. That's what right?
So, so conscientiousness works at both ends, beginning and end. Hopefully, we're going to become a little bit more aware. Unfortunately, that doesn't always happen. I think people maybe think they're more aware. They value friends more, right? And so that idea of conscientiousness, right? They're going to value family more because they don't have a built-in best friend. They don't have that person there right away to build and do what they think they need to have happen. And so that idea of conscientiousness, for sure, but is it conscientiousness of substance or is it superficial?
I think people are going to be more conscientious because they've also, at least I hope most people who've gone through divorce become a little more self-reflective and aware of themselves, which then will make those things that they do more intentional, not just happenstance. At least that's my experience. Because I don't want to walk down the same path again, right? You're coming out of a divorce. You want something to change. You're reflecting on yourself. You're reflecting on the relationship. What was it I missed? All of that stuff. And who am I? Maybe we didn't go into the relationship recognizing who we were.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but I have a question for you, Rebecca. You said that you are more extroverted for being in a relationship, but are you actually truly more of an extrovert or are you just more willing to participate in something if somebody is there with you?
Definitely more willing to try new things if somebody's there with me.
Because so, I'm just going to interrupt. Sorry, Sharon, but interrupting. But extroversion is not about being an adrenaline junkie or not. So zip lining, whitewater rafting, you can be 100% an introvert and want to do that by yourself. And you can go, okay, but I need to learn the skill to do it by yourself. And so again, going out and getting a kayak and going kayaking, y'all are out there kayaking. You're in individual kayaks. It's kind of a solo sport. That's kind of a team sport. That's kind of together, but it does fit the introvert personality.
Mm-hmm.
So even though you're saying you're more extroverted, but are you actually?
That's a very good point. And no, because I still don't talk to other people that I don't need to talk to.
I would love to do a Myers-Briggs before and after and see how all that, especially on the E and the I side of it, how does it change? Does the percentage change?
Okay, so when the very first time I did a Myers-Briggs where I actually got a percentage weighting, and I know that I've done it a lot longer ago than what I'm going to say, but the first time I did it was about 14 years ago, and I was about 6% extroverted, right? Zero would be truly right on the line, and now I'm closer to 10% introverted. And I chalk that up to, yeah, the changes from you know, marriage, divorce, all the things that have happened within that, and also my occupation. So those big life changes for sure have affected, you know, that first letter. And like I said, I've done that because I ask people weekly, well, not quite every week, but most weeks I ask somebody here, you know, do a Myers-Briggs, let's talk about it. And so in doing that, is this true understanding that yes, it changes, but I'm never going to be 80% extroverted or 80% introverted. I'm just never going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But as I've aged over the last 14 years, yes, that first letter has changed. And yes, it has marginally changed. But again, there's been a lot of factors that have gone into those changes. Ending a marriage, beginning a marriage, doing my master's. And when I did that one, I was doing my BA. So I finished my BA, I did my BSW, I did my master's, changes in marriages, changes in all kinds of things. And so it has slowly changed, but also I've aged. And so when you think about that, again, going back to Rebecca, you know, how old were you when you went scuba diving?
29, I think.
Okay, so, you know, 14, 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in that 14, 15 years, you're now learning to truly swim and want to scuba dive. Why? Because, again, the opportunity was presented to you in a quarry in Quebec. And if there's anything that is an introverted sport, because there is no verbal communication underwater, right? It's one of the things I love about being underwater is A, how beautiful it is, and B, how peaceful and quiet it is. And so when I'm down there and I'm just having these beautiful moments, then what? So, you know, you say you're more extroverted, but you went scuba diving and then had relationships, and now you're wanting to scuba dive.
Yeah. So I think just the circumstances of everything, having the opportunity to actually do it, whereas in the past, there's nobody that was really into anything. So I didn't develop any interest in anything. And I was happy with that, with my little bubble, being an introvert with my little bubble.
And Sherry, just as with Rebecca, you had learned how to dive back in the 80s, 90s. And so back a few decades ago, and you got certified, you did all the things that you needed to do, and then you didn't go anymore.
Yep.
Because just as Rebecca just said, there was no one to go with. And so this goes back to what I said. It is a really, really sad thing that people fight so much to go. Who I'm around does influence and change me.
100%. And common interests. I know we gravitate to people with common interests, but we also gravitate our interests to the people that we're around.
Definitely.
And so when you do that, then of course, then it becomes unnatural when you read it. You go, huh, well, yeah, that was a no-brainer. If you divorce, if you marry, if you have kids, it is going to change your personality. But it's the fact that people live in denial, which quite frankly, folks, this has been my issue with trying to record this. And this is why it's such a simple concept, but I was pretty sure it was going to bring up some heated conversation, which it has done. Because no one wants to admit that they have changed themselves for another. They want to go, no, I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to do that ever again.
And it is not always for the good. I know in my first marriage, I became far more negative because of the people I was around. And it's taken a whole lot of time to get out of that mindset.
Wow. Yeah, it's amazing how the person that you're with can affect you so much. Like you said, you became more negative, and it took you a long time to get your head around not being negative anymore.
And our impact on others as well, because there's a give and a take in a relationship too. It's not all one, all the other.
There is.
So how does that evolve?
But is there? Is there truly give and take? Is there give and take of equal or of equity?
I don't think often it is equitable, which I'm going to say that I'm coming from a slanted perspective because of the relationship, and I've been out of the relationship. I don't think I made a good choice my first relationship at all. So in a real good relationship, would there be equity?
I know I didn't make good choices in my first couple relationships. And the idea of being in one that's give and take, I'm not really sure how that really works with the equity thing. Because it's still kind of, one would think that it would be common sense, you know, it'd be equitable. But it seems to be a challenge for me to get things equitable because I'm so used to doing things on my own and taking, I don't know.
If you think about our lives as transitional people through through our life, through this time and through this place. One of the challenges, and I mean this truly as a huge piece, that yes, every single person we come in contact with has influence on where we work, who we have lunch with at work, does impact us and does fundamentally change us. And it's this very idea is why I threw this article out. Because again, folks, y'all ought to heard some of the contentious, heated words that have been said. Because nobody wants to sit there and go, I need to be the gate guardian for my life. And who I choose to marry, who I choose to be around, who I choose to have lunch, who I choose to spend my weekends with. All of those things fundamentally change us. You know, my love of, equipment, my love of getting out on the hoe, my love of getting out on the loader and doing stuff has been there since I was 10, if not before I was 10. All of these things fundamentally were there. The problem isn't that they weren't there. The problem is that what I wanted to do, I had a beautiful, massive house paid for with my first wife. The one thing I was like, hey, can I, money was not an issue. No, you don't need that. You're right. I don't need it, but it brings me a great deal of happiness and joy. And so that happiness and joy, where do I put these pieces together? Because this is a huge, huge ass struggle. And I mean that sincerely. And so when we're sitting there and we're looking around, we go, well, this is what I want. Why? Why do you want that? Why do you need that? And all too often, things that people want and need, you know, they get all blurred because we aren't aware of the fact that what we're doing is we're saying, all right, I can give on this. I can give on this. And the next thing you know, you've married somebody and you look back and you go, what the hell was I doing? Or I have no idea. I asked a guy here not that long ago. He was really sad about moving. He was excited to move. New house, new this, new, right? Brand new build. All excited for all these ongoing things. But was really going to miss some of his neighbors. And I said to him the other day, I said, do you miss your neighbors? He said, no. And then we talked about the fact that at the time, because one of the things that he loved about those neighbors was that when they would get together 2-3 nights a week and on the weekend, they sat around and drank. And he's like, I am so happy to not be drinking that. My wife is so happy I'm not drinking as much. My wallet is so happy I'm not drinking as much. Everything is better that I'm not. But it was that routine and he wasn't aware of it. And this is the subtlety of what we do in life, is we end up surrounding ourselves with people and we go, eh, we can make this happen.
Too easy to do.
Oh, absolutely. And this is why it is so funny that, again, this article has been so contentious to simply get, because, you know, Rebecca, Sherry, y'all have been divorced just like I have. Mm-hmm. Y'all have gone through relationships just like I have. Y'all have struggled just like I have.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing, oh my God, and I'm going to say this, it breaks my heart to say it. The one thing that is so hard is who the hell am I in 2024 when I have spent so many decades trying to please, trying to satisfy, because you're trying to make in-laws happy and you're trying to always not create any ruffles, no ripples on the water. Everything's got to be just smooth as silk, but that's not life. And so by the time you get to a certain point, you go, oh my dear God, what the hell? Well, that's because you've spent an enormous amount of your energy, just a huge amount of your energy, trying to create perfectly smooth water.
Rather than going through the give and take and rippling things for those fundamentals that are you.
Mm-hmm.
And so all too often people get married and it's like, who the hell are you? Well, who do you think you're going to be? Well, you know, who do you want to be? Well, and these are the huge struggles. And this is why so many people, their kids get into their late teens and early 20s, and then they look at each other and they say, who the hell are you? We're headed for a divorce. And I take my hat off to the people who truly have the open and honest conversations and say, I don't like the direction, which would be another word for change, that either my personal life, my professional life, or our personal lives together are going. Because to deny the fact that change is going to happen, that's where people run into the issues. And that's what's been the problem with trying to record this podcast. Because Rebecca and Jerry simply want to go around in circles and not really acknowledge that change actually happens. And they want it to morph it in. What do the two of you think? Because basically I'm just saying to people that the two of you have just been a huge pain in my arse trying to make this thing work. Because neither one of you want to actually truly acknowledge. You want it to talk around topics instead of truly the topic. Does change happen when big life events occur? And the answer is yes. The science is clear. There's no ambiguity to it.
I agree. Mm-hmm. And oh, I think we just wanted to protect ourselves and pretend that that we didn't change. But I go back to the Myers-Briggs. You definitely changed. I've definitely changed. Like, I haven't done it in 5 years now. I should probably redo it and see where I stand today. But I'm going to say the influences I've had in the last 5 years, yep, they will have changed me.
Definitely.
You say that so emphatically. So I have changed. You're saying that I have changed dramatically and you know it?
Well, or that you have changed
and
you
changed dramatically. And not always for the better. I know that.
But what you're saying is that in the last 5 years, you've definitely changed.
Or in the last 10 years or the last 20 years. Yeah. Because again, big life events, the premise of the article and the problem with it was neither of you wanted to acknowledge that the people around you influence you and you do change.
Yes.
Yes.
And so therefore, if you're going to keep hanging around with people who you don't like, you're not inspired by, you're not doing anything good with, then what do you think's going to happen?
You're going to implode and you're not going to be happy.
And so the number of times I've used the, you got to be kidding me, or 20 other things that I've said today and yesterday, trying to get this dang podcast out. Fundamentally, again, people, seriously, who you spend your time with, who you work with, who you are in a relationship with, all of these things, and your children will fundamentally change you. And I can the two of you agree how much of a pain in the arse you've been, like just dancing around the subject?
Definitely. I've gone on so many tangents today. It's crazy.
Yes. Trying to say that I'm perfect and I don't change is kind of ridiculous because...
But it's not about perfection because nobody's perfect. It's about the fact that again, whether we like it or not, when we look at the people around us, right? Like if the person around us has no manners, is picking their nose and flinging it across the room, then you know what? And if we go, oh, we can hang around that person's going to be good influence on us. Which direction are we going to go? Damn. Right? And so this is the reality. And this is why I say I really can't wait to hear what people have to say about this podcast. But the fact is that, folks, look around really, really hard. The people that you spend your time with, the people you put your energy in with, are they the people who you really, truly want to be like? Because it will happen. So, again, everybody, music's playing. I guess this is the time for wrap up. Hey, folks, thanks again for tuning in to Black Sheep Rebranded. And from myself and from Sherry and Rebecca, we thank you very much for listening to this ridiculous conversation on change and does it happen? Because, of course, the damn thing happens. But, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. I want to pop my head off listening to the circular conversation about I don't change for anybody. No, I don't change, and it's all about other stuff. Nonsense, people. Anyhow, again, not a substitute for mental health. It is inspiring, hopefully, to think about your life differently and to do things in a little bit different way. And so again, from everyone here at Black Sheep and everybody around us, have yourselves a wonderful weekend. Again, sorry for being a day late, but you know what? I think it was a worthwhile 24 hours of arguing about this stuff. So everybody be good. We'll chat soon. Bye-bye.